Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 a.m. We're having a nut party in here. I'm eating nuts. Landfill's eating nuts.
I passed on your nuts.
Jeff got nuts to the face. I thought you were going to catch them, Jeff. We were throwing nuts against the wall, nuts against the glass. Shout out to the stream, Planters, Peanuts. Landfill got the honey roasted. Nothing goes quite like with baseball like peanuts. I mean, it's one and the same.
It's true.
Buy me your Cracker Jacks and whatever the hell the song is. I don't think that was it. all right, let's get down to business. I want to applaud Spencer Nussbaum. Spencer covers the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post and does a great job. And, Spence, let's start here, man. Not always easy staring down the barrel asking some of these questions. I've been in your shoes in some spots. Where are you at with everything going on in Natstown?
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious and simple way to explain it is that the team is not in a good place, and Davey is not in a good place. Like you said, I mean, I asked a couple of days ago, you know, when you look at the team, when you look at the offense as a whole, they haven't been producing like the team wants to this month. So I asked him, you know, how much of that is on the players, how much of that is on coaching, and before I could kind of get into the rest of the question, Davey obviously went on his spiel. That has since kind of landed him in hot water over the last few days. You know, this is, I've been covering the team for a year and a half now. This is a pretty obvious low point given where the aspirations were at the start of the season. And given that they've lost 8 straight. So yeah, plenty of directions I could take this, but right now, things are not in a good place.
I mean, what was your reaction when you're asking that question? Davey has always been so good at standing up for his players, even when, you know, you could almost rightfully throw them under the bus to an extent with how they played. But this time, it just felt like this was out of character, it felt like, for Davey.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think it was both very out of character and in some ways very in character. In sense of out of character, you're exactly right. Davey, for years and years and years, has been known as a player's manager. He has his players' backs. He'll defend them to the media. That is who he is as a manager, and I think it's earned him a lot of goodwill over the years, and I think it's you know, one of the higher marks on his resume. On the other side of things, you know, he's loaded his staff with, you know, close friends and confidants who he has a lot of trust in, who he trusts to keep things insular within the organization, and who he trusts is going to get the absolute most out of his players. For as much as he is a player's manager, and I think that, you know, has largely rung true, he is a staunch defender of his coaching staff, and believes that they are working as hard as they can to get the best out of the team. Obviously, the results haven't been there, and so, you know, when you ask him a question about the coaching staff and how they've performed, it's in his nature to be defensive, not only because he sees how much work they're putting in, but because he's obviously, you know, so close with so many of them.
Well, you said something there that I think really hits home, is that it's just so out of character for Davey because he's always been like the put it on me, not them. And then just to be like, yeah, you know, it's never on the coaches. We're not the ones hitting. Or not hitting. I think he's right. I think there's obviously some real frustrations. for me, what do you think they actually do? When do you think they actually make a decision? What are the next steps? Because you got the Rockies coming to town, and they are god awful. They're 14-57. Is this the kind of thing where, all right, man, we take three or four here, kind of quiet, you know, quiet the noise. Then I'm gonna tell you the truth. They got this West Coast road trip. The games are gonna be really late. I know Natstown Twitter is gonna be watching, but the bulk of people probably fall asleep and don't pay attention. Like, they might be able to ride this storm out, or is the heat just too hot?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not speculate too strongly on what happens when. What I will say in the context of Major League Baseball is there are managers who, after they have a stretch like this, meaning the last, you know, 5 years in tandem with this 8-game losing streak, in tandem with the comments that David just made, there are managers who would not weather that. And you've seen managers get fired this season. I think we're up to 3 or 4. You've seen managers get fired in the past for stretches like this. So there is, I would say, a precedent in Major League Baseball. All that is to say, you know, I can't say for certain yet which way things are leaning, just because I don't think it's fair to speculate on that this early before we have, you know, gathered everything we need to gather. But with that said, I mean, and I think that we'll probably address this too, but this is not just a Davey problem, even though the comments in the recent losing streak exacerbate that. You know, he is not blameless. I think he can shoulder quite a bit of the blame here. But you can also put that on, you know, any number of people within the organization, given that they're not where they want to be at the current moment.
Spencer, when you look at the coaching staff, this is something we were talking about earlier. You'll know better than I. Were there contracts up at the end of last year? And then
yeah.
I think that's some of the frustration around this, right, is the coaching staff that he's defending is people that Nats fans didn't want back last year, and they're back again. He's still defending them, and they decided to keep everybody last year. Were there contracts up going into this season? They extended them, or what was that situation?
Yeah, so they were each I can't speak to the exact contract details, but I can say in August they decided to renew every single member of the staff's contract, you know, pitching coaches, hitting coaches, catching coaches, you name it. Obviously, the fans were not happy about that. Davey's defense, you know, of that move and Rizzo's ensuing defense of that move was, look, we have a young core. We want them to have a stable leadership group. We want them to be, you know, having the same guys year after year, build that rapport, not only build trust, but kind of keep the same message going along. And I think, you know, at this point, you know, a lot of people are questioning whether they're delivering the right message. You look at some of the trends that the Nationals have had, particularly in the offensive side, but I think all around over the last handful of years. And, you know, the question remains, you know, how much of that is on coaching? How much of that is on player development, which I think is maybe a slightly under-discussed, but a bigger part of this than some people think, and how much of this is on ownership, moves from Rizzo, and so forth. You know, Davey said on opening day, you know, I want this team, you know, to me, success is defined by making the postseason. They've obviously are on track to fall well short of that goal. But it's not as though he's been gifted a roster, you know, that was World Series bound or even expected to be postseason bound. And so that's where I guess I start to think in terms of the coaching staff, look, is this the perfect group to get things done? I'm not sure of that. But you can put the onus on a lot of different people in this situation.
To play devil's advocate here, talking with Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post, to play devil's advocate here for Davey, do we overrate how much the coaching staff plays a role in this? Like
in all of baseball.
Does the hitting coach, like everyone wants to blame him, you know, fire Darnell Coles as soon as they go on a stretch like this. How much of that is Coles? How much is that of the hitters? You know, how much is the blame does Jim Hickey deserve? How much blame does Davey? Not saying they're faultless, but do we overrate sometimes how much of a role these guys play and everybody just needs something that they can feel like there's change being made? Or is it a reality that maybe they do need to make a move?
Yeah, I mean, when when Davey said at the end of his comments, you know, we can't hit for them, we can't catch balls for them, et cetera, he's right on that. Like, I think, you know, for the bulk of it, like, this losing streak is as much on the players who are actually playing the game as everyone else. But as I would continue to return to, like, the message you hear Darnell Coles and Jim Hickey pushing, it's the same message you're going to hear in the minor leagues. It's the same message you're going to hear kind of across the organization. And so they're pushing the same sort of streamlined message that everyone else is pushing.
Do they push do they push running into outs on the base pass?
Toby's just taking shots. Hold on. Let's get a reset here. We got our guy Spencer Nussbaum on the phone here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. If you want to give Spencer a follow, it's Spencer Nussbaum, N-U-S-B-A-U-M, underscore at the end of that. Spencer Nussbaum, underscore. So we got a question from the chat that I thought was pretty good. I want to credit the right guy here. Scotty G. All right, Spencer, hear me out on this. Scotty G asks, is the Brady House call-up equivalent to the Dan Snyder, Sean Taylor statue? Like, is this a distraction, or should this kid be called up and make his big league debut tonight?
I think both could be true. You know, Brady maybe should have already been called up, to be frank. I understand why they gave him a little time, but I mean, no doubt it's a distraction. I don't think anyone in the organization would necessarily tell you that. But the timing is rather convenient. You know, I think that Brady, it's the right time for him to get called up. I think he can legitimately help jumpstart an offense that is looking to get jumpstarted any way they can. Obviously, you look at where they're at now, and I think it's, you know, they have to cover their bases in some way, and this is ultimately in the last 12 hours how they've decided to do so.
This season has been weird to me, Spencer, because the record obviously is bad, the losing streak is bad, the comments from Davey are bad. But you look all around this team in terms of the guys that are the building blocks, and you feel encouraged where James Wood has been maybe better than expected early on in his career. C.J. Abrams has struggled recently, but
I think definitely better than expected.
Definitely. Overall, C.J.'s been good. Mackenzie Gore with another good start yesterday, and he's looked like he's turned a corner. How do you characterize the season overall where the young guys that are kind of the future of the team that everybody gets excited about, that people are buying jerseys of, maybe with the exception of Dylan Cruz, have been really good. But the team's success when, like you're saying, Davey's talking, let's make the postseason. Rizzo's talking in spring training, hey, we're trying to turn a corner. Like, the team's success isn't there, but some of the players that people really care about are playing well.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important position to bring up. Look, the most important players on the Nationals, James Wood, Mackenzie Gore, DJ Abrams, have taken a step forward this season. Ultimately, that is probably the most important development of this season. And again, I hate to keep going back to development, but the reason the Nationals aren't as good as they want to be is because they haven't developed around them. You know, that Soto trade was one of the best trades. I know you're trading away a franchise icon, but it has reaped so much reward for this franchise. It's about everything else they've done around that. And look, the other point I would make on this is, if you're going to blame Darnell Coles and Jim Hickey for, you know, all of these, you know, players who have maybe underperformed, I don't think you can also say, look, they haven't done anything to help James or CJ or McKenzie. Like, they've helped some of those guys as well. So there is a push and pull there. That being said, it speaks to the lack of development that they've had at the minor league level, that they haven't had the depth around those guys to really take the step forward this season. But again, that being said, James, CJ, McKenzie, and I think, you know, Dylan's had some really good under the hood numbers. It's the overall results that don't look great. But I think all four of those guys have taken steps forward this season. And I think that that's a massive, massive point for the organization.
I hear that, and I tend to agree with it. And I know there was the Rosenbaum story a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. I think if Davey has lost the guys, I get it. But I just think the ship is like kind of rudderless. You know what I'm saying? Like if the engine of this ship is the ability to spend money on players, and they don't do it, it just seems like it's folks wanting a pound of flesh. But then you dig a little deeper, and there's more to it. I'm kind of fascinated to watch it unfold. They can't lose the series to the Rockies, right? Like that's
better not.
Serious question. And you guys might not know this. Maybe we have to. White Brian's good at looking stuff up. Have the Rockies won a series this year?
They did. They swept the Marlins last week.
Who just swept the Nats?
Yes.
You.
Yes.
How bad is getting swept at home by the Marlins?
It's bad. Look, the Rockies have won 5 of their last 12. They're not coming in as bad as they've been, but that you can't. I mean, every single person in this town would agree that the Nationals cannot lose this series. It's a low point now that would, frankly, you kind of got to sweep this one. You got to win all 4 games to feel any sort of way.
Seriously.
No pressure.
he's not wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to try to just have something upbeat here. How many All-Stars for the Nats? I mean, we're getting close, right? The break's in what, 2 weeks?
A little longer than that.
3 weeks?
Yeah, about a month from now. James is at this point a shoe-in. McKenzie at this point is effectively a shoe-in. I think CJ, it'll be an interesting question just because shortstop is so loaded with talent, especially in the National League, that you could see that going in either direction. If the team is, 11 games under 500 or wherever they are a month from now, it might be tough because CJ at that point would probably be a league office sort of pick or a player sort of pick. Hey, do we want to have 3 guys from a team that's 10 games under 500 in an all-star game? I'm not sure they say yes. That said, outside of a short skid as of late, which is who started to turn around. I mean, CJ's been unbelievable, especially offensively this year. So I think 2 are effectively guaranteed. The question is whether CJ gets in. I know Finnegan has had a good year, but after the All-Star nod last year and with so many other strong relief pitching performances in baseball, I don't necessarily know that he gets in.
Okay. Skeens is the NL starter, right?
Yeah.
And then Gore gets like the 4th?
Yeah, something like
that. Is that how that would work? Last one, Spencer.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, he thinks so, yeah.
I would think.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Spencer, while we got you, obviously here in Natstown, we're kind of watching things burn down. What the hell's going on in Boston and the the trade they just made? Like, John Henry just spends all his money on Liverpool and just doesn't care about the Red Sox anymore?
Crazy.
Yeah, and that's one where, look, and I think Passan sent out a really good tweet last night about it. You know, almost every model in baseball, so to speak, so like an analytical model, cost-based model, etc., has the Red Sox winning this trade because Devers' contract is so large for so long, because he's a DH. That being said, I mean, the outsized importance that guy has to the city, the fact that you're not punting on this year, but you're certainly setting yourself up to not as well for this season, whereas maybe you're setting yourself better up 4 or 5 years from now. That's just a tough situation, and that's one where, Breslow isn't the one who signs Devers to the massive extension, and so he doesn't necessarily have that same relationship with him. I don't know that the Red Sox are screwed this season, but, did they kind of, hurt their fan base and hurt their team in the short term. That said, in the long term, I do think they're still positioned pretty well.
Hey, Spencer, we appreciate the time today, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. See you in a little bit.
Yep, thanks.
All right, Spencer Nussbaum from the Washington Post. Give him a follow at Spencer Nussbaum.
JP, what? Real quick, listen to the starters against Colorado. If the Nats don't win this series and win all 4 games, these are the starters for Colorado. Carson Palmquist, game 1 today, 0-4 with
Carson Palmer won a Heisman at USC, right?
Well, Palmquist is not any good at pitching. He's 0-4 with a 7.77 ERA.
Oh, that's Corbin his last couple years
listen
here.
Listen to this. This is game 2 of the series. Antonio Senzatella is 1-10 with a 7.23 ERA.
Did he play Zorro in those movies?
I'm not sure. Game
three. Is that Antonio Banderas?
German Marquez, who's actually been decent in his career. Not this year. 2-8 with a 6.62 ERA. And their best starter of the bunch going on Thursday afternoon. 2-7 with a 6.57 ERA, Chase Dolander. Your lowest ERA of the starters you're going to face is a 6.57.
If you That's don't the win, homeless man's version of Justin Verlander. Chase Bolander.
If you don't win all four of these games, I mean, anything's on the table.
Perhaps most importantly, Landfill, a lot of rain in the forecast. We got any day games coming? Any rain delays?
Thursday. 105 Thursday.
Natstown is in trouble. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Started 90 minutes straight baseball. Woo!
How about that?
I mean, there's trouble in Natstown, man. They better win some games, man. A few other things I did want to discuss. Our guy Cody Betts is getting married. Coming up very soon, actually. Sent me a text this morning, Landfill. So B and I are in the wedding. Very honored to be groomsmen in this wedding. Damn, you're getting married not this weekend, but next weekend.
You should probably know when that is.
Well, I haven't booked my flight yet. Landville, you know what I thought you might appreciate? Got a text from Cody this morning. Yo, can you get fitted for the suit like ASAP? They emailed me and said you haven't. We're getting into territory where they claim you may not be able to get the suit in time. You may not be able to submit measurements online if you can't get to the store. So if anybody works at Men's Warehouse, holler at your boy. I'm off the rack, dude. I'm easy. 42 regular, 34, 30 pants. Like, we can get this done. So if you know any good seamstresses, Toby?
I don't, no.
Okay, well.
Wish I could help you, but I don't. Sorry.
Are you a seamstress yourself?
I'm not.
Can you hem some pants?
No.
If one of us had to hem the pants, I feel like White Brian's a sneaky candidate.
He's probably good at it.
White Brian, you know how to hem pants?
It's probably a sneaky skill of his.
No.
What about Rose?
Yeah, school, she does.
She's a school teacher.
Not a teacher, but she can hem pants.
Now we're making progress.
There you go.
Shout out to Men's Warehouse. My plan is to come to the one in Rockville tonight. Plans often change. Toby, I got suits. And Cody, I got suits. I'll just wear one that kind of fits. I'm not walking the bride down the aisle. Sheesh. And me not booking the flight is not my fault. B. Mitch likes to wait till the last minute, and we got to be on the same plane. So,
where is this wedding at?
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's on everybody's bucket list.
Yeah, that's where we all want to go.
The Great Wall of Erie.
Yeah, that's everyone's favorite spot in the U.S.
I don't believe I know a single thing about Erie, Pennsylvania.
It's near Lake Erie.
Hope they got vodka. Apparently there's a casino. I don't know about you, Tobe, because you're such a baseball addict. What sporting event meant the most to you this weekend?
Oh, I was watching the U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open dominated in our house and kind of forced my wife and all her sisters to change all their Father's Day plans because I was like, nah, I want to watch it at home. But everybody came over. We had a great time. I was really – it was – between the bad weather, and I think Oakmont was almost too penal. I know a lot of people are all about the carnage, but like once that rough got wet, it was just
so
almost
hard.
Stupid.
So here's my thing with Oakmont. That's Oakmont. Like Oakmont does go beef things up a little bit, but that's Oakmont. Like, you go that play there in a couple of months when they're not in U.S. Open condition, it's pretty close to that condition all the time. So I don't have an issue with Oakmont playing like that, because that is Oakmont. When you go there, that's what you're going to get.
You been up there?
I've never been there, but it opened as a par 80 when it was, like, early 1900s. But, like, it's... They were talking about the guys that won back in the day, JP, and they were winning with scores of, like, plus 11. Dustin Johnson won there at, like, what, -4, -5, and JJ won at -1. So, I mean, it's kind of on brand for Oakmont that it's just, it's a really difficult course. I don't think it's unfair. In some cases, I think with Sam Burns got screwed with that ruling of the casual water, I think that was a little unfair.
So, it sucked because I think it was Kyle Porter. It was one of the golf guys went over there and stood in the spot and put his foot down. You can see how wet it was. But, dude, letter of the rule, which is what the USGA is about, you need standing water. Like, obviously, it was wet, but there wasn't standing water.
Well, and part of the issue there is it's just a weird ruling, because if I stood there, I weigh a little bit more than Sam Burns. If I stood there, there would have been standing water. You know, it's like, so like, if someone a little bit bigger standing there, they get relief, but Sam Burns being nice and fit, he doesn't, it's a weird rule. I don't think he would have won the tournament anyways. He was kind of falling apart as it was, and that just kind of piled on. But regardless, it felt like he got screwed a little bit.
He was kind of falling apart too. Yeah, I mean, I got bailed out at the end. I Lanfield, you'll be shocked to know I had a bunch of bets going in. If Victor Hovland could have missed that par putt on 18, would have been very good for me. Because then Scotty jumps up to a tie for fifth. Hovland made it. I think he got a solo second out of it. Or maybe he got the solo third because Bobby Mack was solo second. I put all my action in yesterday morning. And then at the last possible moment before these guys had teed off, your boy did put in a JJ Spawn to win ticket.
How about it?
Now, because of all the other action, so I have $50 on all these, right? Spread across sites, all that stuff. I had a Scheffler top five. I had a Ben Griffin top five. Loser, loser. Then I had Vic to win at plus 600. Loser.
Loser.
My flyer, that there was times I was a little aroused. Cam Young to win at plus 15,000.
Where did he finish at?
I think just outside the top 10. I think 11. I think T11. There was a brief moment there where I thought I had a chance. A buddy of mine had a big old Sam Burns stake to win, and that didn't get home for him. But JJ Spawn winning bailed me out at the end. And I was thinking of something, Toby, and maybe I'm incorrect on this. I'm a Rory McIlroy stan. I think there's, as much like Natstown, there seems to be a lot going on in Mac land right now. He doesn't seem like a happy fella right now. But part of the reason I love Rory is, one, I mean, he won his first major at Congressional, so that just kind of resonates and I like it. But he's a Northern Irish Catholic, and that's a complicated part of the world, a complicated history, a complicated legacy, and that's what my family is. Like, my dad's big joke is, you know, his parents could only get on the cheap boat to Scotland instead of the expensive boat to America. So, like, but all of our background is Northern Irish Catholic and all that entails. And that's why I root for McIlroy so much. And then I was curious for you. Aren't you Filipino descent? Like, does Spawn winning a dude who his mom's Filipino? Like,
I didn't even know he was Filipino.
Okay, so clearly that doesn't resonate with you much.
I was rooting for him, though, because we were on the air on Thursday. I was in for you with B-Mitch. And this guy goes out. We're hearing all week leading up to this. I'd watched so many YouTube videos of different guys playing, including like a Bryson DeChambeau, all these different content creators, different people out there. They had like a media day. I thought they did a great job of this, JP, where they had a media day where I'm sure your dude Brendan Porath was out there.
Sure.
I'm sure a bunch of guys. Like, I'm watching videos from every single golf outlet you can find on YouTube. They're all playing Oakmont. It was all the same day. It was a couple weeks ago. But they're all playing Oakmont, so you get to see it. And leading up to it, it looked awesome. But seeing him go out on Thursday after seeing how hard it looked for all these other guys, people that are maybe closer to our level, probably still better because they play all the time, but more our level, and they're shooting stupid numbers that you couldn't even think. And he goes out there and shoots a 31 on the first nine, bogey-free on Thursday. And then he flips it around, and on Sunday, his first nine, he shoots a 40. You'd think he's out. And then he comes back and wins the thing. I thought that was
pretty
cool.
For a dude to shoot a 40 on the front and win a U.S. Open is telling of the course, how everybody was playing. But the thing that I think really made that U.S. Open was Spawn bombing that putt to win it all.
So cool.
So cool. And just that putt was pure all day. Now, it helped a ton that Vic showed him the way in, but I was I do think of all the big tournaments, I think the British probably has the most, but because that's such a worldwide field.
Yeah.
The British probably has more kind of, I don't want to say random, but like unexpected winners, non-big name winners.
I mean, its biggest test is always the conditions, and you can't control the conditions.
Right. And you've got people from all over the world. Even, I mean, U.S. Open does too. The Masters does too. They all do, but like that's a more European field to begin with.
Yeah.
But I do think the U.S. Open, because of the extreme level of difficulty they want to generate, which I support, like, if you get one guy that's hot for 4 days, it's not always going to reward the best players in the world in that moment. But I also think we shouldn't necessarily, like, denigrate Spawn. Like, Spawn,
no.
Spawn went to that playoff against Rory in the Players. I think he won, what, the Cognizant? He won something. I think he's won a Valero. I think he now has, like, two wins on tour and now a major. Seeing that moment, and maybe it's because I have two little girls, I don't know. But, like, when his wife was standing there with the two little girls, and he was so clearly, like, in shock and emotional. Like, that to me is the U.S. Open. It's Father's Day. It's a family thing. And I hated that Oakmont had the weather, and it was just kind of like, it felt a little disjointed the entire week. You know what I mean? Because there were weather delays, or it's raining, or Wyndham Clark's kicking in the lockers, whatever it is. But, like, I still love the event.
Yeah.
What's your favorite major?
Oh, it's the Masters.
Yeah, me too.
The Masters, but right behind it, it just kind of depends on the venue for either the Open Championship or the U.S. Open. But I think the U.S. Open at Oakmont never disappoints. And I think the thing that I like about it is it seems like every single year that it's not in an Oakmont or a classic course like a Pinehurst, that we always get these discussions. Have they lost the course? Is it too unfair? And the beauty of this week, JP, is that was never a discussion about the course. Maybe the conditions in terms of there was too much rain at the end, but the course was never viewed as unfair. It's just an incredibly daunting course that resulted in a winner, one dude under par, and it's not like it was unfair conditions. That's just crazy to think about.
We got to catch up on the NBA Finals. Obviously, big game tonight. That series has been a lot more fun than a lot of us were expecting to. Speaking of unexpected stuff, the temps are going up, and you never know what's going to happen with DC weather. You got to make sure your air conditioner is ready to go. Now is the perfect time to schedule a $99 cooling and heating check with the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. For just $99, a Crop Metcalf five-star technician will check both your home's cooling and heating system for one low price. There's a ton of benefits for a crop maintenance check. It'll increase the efficiency of your system as we get into these hot summer months. Pepco's coming for your money. Let Crop keep it in your pocket. Don't wait. Call today. Get peace of mind no matter what the unpredictable DC weather is tomorrow. Do what I always do. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Actually, you know what I called them? They have pest services. I got them to spray for ants. Shout out to Crop. Crop Metcalf is the home of the five-star technician. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. About 10 minutes, you're going to hear from Tavita Pritchard, quarterback's coach for the Washington Commanders. Tonight, though, we got who?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the hoops was pretty good over the weekend. I thought there was a real chance the Pacers were going to be up 3-1. And then I thought in that last game, in game four, SGA just reminded everybody he's by far the best player in the series. The way the Thunder closed out game four was like, I think Carlisle's the better coach. I think the Pacers might have a better like team vibe, but the Thunder just remember like, oh, we're better than these dudes.
Yeah, no question. I think if you can have SGA continue to do what he's doing, the big part for them is in this game, SGA had 35 points on 24 shots. If he can be somewhere in that 18 to 25 range and still give you 30 plus, then you can make it work. When he starts getting into that 27, 28 shots to score that 30-ish range and he's not as efficient, that's when they can lose some of these ball games. But 10 of 10 from the line, he was able to get to the free throw line with some of those. SGA is kind of the factor in this series in that if he just decides to take over a game, he can, more so than probably anybody else. But he hasn't necessarily done that enough in this series probably because I think the Pacers have done a really good job of kind of containing that.
It's also crazy, and I really try to veer away from conspiracy theory talk. My man Jeff does plenty for all of us. Jeff, I'll give you a chance here if you want. Like, I don't understand how the NBA, like the one crew, wasn't there one refereeing crew that the Eagles went 7-0 with?
Yeah.
Right? And then the Skins got them against the Eagles.
I mean, we were talking about this on Friday.
Just the Scott Foster stuff is so unbelievable.
You know his nickname, right?
Yeah, the Extender. Which, I mean, maybe he's slanging Blue Chew on the side. I don't know. But, like, you have such a problem with this dude. And then down the stretch in game four, some of those calls were such a joke.
I hate the one where Nesmith shouldn't have his hand, I guess, on SGA's right shoulder. But then SGA just flails going up and gets two free throws. That's not basketball. Come on.
Let's check in with our chief conspiracy theorist on the program, Jeff Walker. Jeff, what'd you think about the refereeing towards the end of Game 4, Pacers Thunder?
Hey, look, man, JP, you know what conspiracies, right? They say they always got to put it in our face before they actually do it. Buffalo they Wild do? Wings been giving us the hint that they're going to extend these games for a long time. Bro, I get it, though. He's a referee. He wants to be the villain. He's not important on the floor. So you know what he says? You know what? I'm going to make me a factor in this game. I'm going to call every foul. And, Toby, I know you hate it, but it's a foul. He had his hand on him. But I mean, you're right. It's not playoff or championship basketball.
It is a foul.
They do got to do something about
of
that.
Of the sort, but they tried to get rid of that a couple years ago. Remember KD had the thing where he'd rake across and then he'd get hit in the arms and that wasn't no longer called a shooting foul? I don't know. Some of that stuff's got to change, but look, that's what SGA did all year and he won MVP.
Like, hey, man.
Can't complain now, right?
Yeah, I mean, he capitalized on other people's mistakes. Some of those fouls are legit fouls. We can't act like they aren't fouls just because we don't deem it as playoff basketball. It's just, it sucks for the product.
I've been impressed with Indiana and that they've, to your point, JP, they have, Rick Carlisle's outcoached Mark Daigneault. And it's not even close.
Not even close.
And
I also thought that would happen going in.
Yeah, he's been so good. It's been a really good series. It's not built on just the stars. Like, yes, a lot of it rides on SGA and Halliburton, but Pascal Siakam's played well. You're talking
Mathurin's
about
Mathurin's played well. He did Mathurin. In game four, but
you're talking about all sorts of different guys across these teams that I don't know that we were focused on going into the series, but I think that's kind of the beauty of this series is they've got their star players, but so much of it depends on what used to be, JP, that it was two or three guys as stars. That's not really the case with these teams. It's one superstar, one fringe star, and then a bunch of role players, and the role players have really stepped up for both these teams. It just kind of depends on which game, which role players step up.
We're going to dig into the basketball a little later. Jimmy Patsos is going to join us. Chase Hughes is going to join us. At 12:30, we're going to hear from Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter, all over the stadium situation, the city council, all that. I think, frankly, I don't know the wheres or whys because I was off for a couple days, but I think there's some like serious misinformation going on with RFK Stadium, the rebuild RFK Stadium. That thing seems more on track than ever to me. Now, maybe that's the way I want to interpret it, but I don't know. When Phil Mendelson says, hey, I don't know who's saying we're taking the money out, we're actually protecting the money for RFK, I think that's worth pointing out. When we come back, Tavita Pritchard, Commanders quarterbacks coach. Nobody go anywhere.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.